Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. As we continue our look at the sesquicentennial of the start of the Civil War, we meet a little-known Wisconsin veteran. Lucius Fairchild was an entrepreneur during the California Gold Rush before following his political conscience into war. In the military, he found success and would become highly respected among his troops. After a tragic injury during an important Civil War battle, Fairchild would return to his home state, and he got involved in politics. But Stuart Stotz finds that many young Wisconsinites don't know that a former governor was also an honest-to-goodness Civil War hero. Stotz recently wrote a biography of Fairchild for younger readers. He tells Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce what about Fairchild's personality will appeal to a younger audience.
He was. It was sort of the age to go out and, you know, seek your fortune. And so he tried some a little bit of business stuff. And his dad was a real entrepreneur, not a successful one, incidentally. But in the end, Lucius decided to go west to seek his fortune among the gold mining opportunities in California. And so he headed out there in a wagon train and took, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks to get there. And what he found was he didn't really have much success panning for gold, but he had tremendous success selling stuff to the miners, in particular beef, because the demand for certain goods was very high, and you could make a lot of money in the boom towns that were out there in California. So that's really how he made, the word he used was his pile, and eventually then returned to Wisconsin after two or three years and began to go into politics.
Now, what were his political leanings at that time, and what were some of the first political posts that he took?
He strongly believed in the Union, that the Union needed to stay together. The way for political advancement was through the military as he saw it. And so he joined kind of the militia. And then when the war came, he was raring to go fight. He just had this energy about him, wanted to go out there and fight those Southerners. And I don't really believe it was fundamentally about slavery for him. I think it was much more about keeping the Union together. So he joined up and rose up the ranks a little bit. But when the war began, he spent about a year and a half before he saw any action, training and marching and recruiting more people. One of the things about Lucius, I think it's not so much a political as an element of his personality, but he wouldn't ask his men to do something that he himself wouldn't do. And there were other commanders there who were lazy and drunk and didn't really care that much about their men. And so Lucius became beloved by the soldiers that were under his command.
I know he was also a fairly modest leader. I know at one point he refused a promotion to lieutenant colonel from captain. Why did he do that?
It's a little unclear to me whether he was modest or whether he saw being modest as a way to get ahead. He said later in his life, said, the office must seek the man. So it wasn't that I'm going to go out and run for governor, let the governor's office sort of come and recruit me. That to be seen as being ambitious was in fact a liability. I think he had some modesty as well, so that probably fit with who he was. But there was kind of a calculated side to being modest as well.
Tell me a little bit about the 2nd Wisconsin, which was part of what's known as the Iron Brigade.
That's right. The Iron Brigade was, I think it was about 2,000 soldiers or so from different regiments, mostly from Wisconsin. And at this Battle of Bronner's Farm, which was the real first big engagement that Lucius was part of, one of the generals, McClellan, looked down and saw these people just fighting so hard and said, what troops are those? And the answer came back and McClellan said, they must be made of iron. So they took this on as a point of pride, and they wore these black hats and were very well regarded at that time. But they lost a lot of people. For example, at Bronner's Farm, out of the 500, over 300 were killed, wounded, or missing. So they took very heavy casualties.
How did that affect Lucius?
Very deeply. He loved his men. There were these battles where huge numbers of people were, you know, died or were hurt, and it both goaded him into fighting harder, but it affected him very deeply. And the other thing that occurred as a result of that is he developed a real animosity towards the South, kind of over the top. So, for example, at one point he said that he hoped he would never have to take a prisoner, that he'd rather that they were just dead. So it affected him to see his men killed in these battles and made him really hate the South for quite a while.
Now, the Second Wisconsin saw several major battles, but tell me about what happened at Willoughby Run near Gettysburg.
Well, that's where Lucius lost his arm, and in a sense, that became his defining characteristic. They marched over this rise, and almost a third of the men were killed right away. So you've got, 300 men or so walking over this rise, and 100 of them knocked down. Lucius was hit by a musket ball in the arm. And it's hard for us to imagine how confusing these battles were. Huge amounts of smoke and people going from this way and that way. And it wasn't really like a pitched battle at all. You had very little communication. And Lucius was actually left at one point and captured by the Confederates at Gettysburg. But then they left him when they retreated. So he found his way to a house in Gettysburg where he sat on the porch watching the battle, which I think is a very interesting image. And there his arm was amputated, which, as I say, became his kind of defining political characteristic.
Just adding to that image of him watching the battle from the porch, he also was shouting encouragement, you write, to the soldiers passing by.
Absolutely. That's right. Like a cheerleader there on the side. And, imagine he just lost his arm. And there he is, so caught up in the battle, which went on, for several days, and shouting, go get him.
What did he do once he returned to Wisconsin after his time fighting in the war was over?
He came back and sort of pondered what his future would be. And then he was in the army and he wanted to become governor. And in order to do that, he had to resign his generalship because you couldn't have both of those together. So soon after, I think it was in 64 or so, he became the governor. And again, at that time, governors were not directly elected. They were chosen by the legislature. So it was a little bit different process of how you go about becoming governor. It was more about currying favor with politicians than currying favor with the public in general.
Now, he initially worked his way up to that position. He was first Wisconsin's Secretary of State.
That's right. It's sort of, you pay your due.
And he applied that philosophy that he had of not overtly seeking the office of the governor, but making it appear as if others were pretty much begging him.
That's exactly what it was. He was a war hero. He had sacrificed his arm in the service of the war. His soldiers loved him. People were coming back from the war, and he was a good choice in that sense, the returning war hero who did care about people. He was smart. He was intelligent. And at the time, governors only served for 2 years, and he served a total of 3 terms. And a big part of what he was concerned with during his time was taking care of the soldiers who had returned. That was a big issue for him.
And he also oversaw one of the biggest crises in Wisconsin's history, which was the Peshtigo Fire.
That's exactly right. He was actually in the final months of his term, and the Chicago Fire happened, right before the Peshtigo Fire. And so he went there and then heard about this. And his wife, Frances, but they called her Frank, she took charge in his absence and began to send help up there. And he went up there and he worked night and day there at the end of his term to try to make sure that people got what they needed. And he kind of neglected the elections that were happening for his successor. And didn't really help politically like he had said he would because he was so consumed with helping out after the Peshtigo Fire.
That didn't necessarily seem to hurt him, as after his term as governor ended, he campaigned for Ulysses Grant and ended up getting a favor from him as a result of all of his work.
That's right. He wanted—Lucius is also driven by the desire to have security and make money. And I think this comes from his father, who was always, you know, I mean, sometimes went to debtor's prison and always trying to make a buck and not being very successful at it. And one secure kind of lifestyle could come from a diplomatic post. So, in fact, he spent time in France and in England as kind of a consul over there, in Spain as well. So he spent quite a long time overseas serving his country.
But eventually he did come back to Wisconsin, and after not a whole lot of arm twisting, decided to throw his hat in the political ring one more time.
Right, and unsuccessfully in this case, which left him quite bitter. This whole thing about wanting to be drafted and yet, you know, then overplaying your hand. And when that didn't happen, he became quite bitter. And so he moved on and became the leader of the Grand Army of the Republic, which was made up of Civil War veterans, and did a lot of work there advocating for veterans. And he also, which I think is a great testament to him, he got over this hatred that he had for the South. When the war was originally over, he really wanted the South to be punished for what they had done, for having risen up in rebellion. He wanted there to be all kinds of very heavy-handed penalties. But 15, 20 years later, he'd gotten past that. There was a big earthquake down in Charleston, and he went down and met Confederate veterans down there and extended friendship and reconciliation to them, which I think is great that he was able to move beyond the bitterness that he had about the Civil War.
What would you say is Lucius Fairchild's legacy?
One legacy is the Wisconsin Historical Society, which he was instrumental in getting going. Veterans' rights he fought for, but it was something that was very important to him. Also, education in general was something that he cared about quite a bit. So I think those were his big things that he pushed for there back in the very early days of Wisconsin. I think he represents an old-style politician who, on the one hand, wanted to be successful, wanted to be popular, but also had a genuine concern for the common good. Now, politicians often see that, you know, in different terms, but he really did want to do what was right for people. He was an advocate in many, many different ways, and I find that very admirable.
Hence the title Civil War Hero. He was both
That's
a hero
exactly
and
right.
admirable.
That's exactly right. A good hero.
Well, Stuart Stotz, thank you so much for coming on Lake Effect and telling us about Lucius Fairchild.
You are welcome. Great to talk with you.
Stuart Stotz is the author of the new biography for young readers called Lucius Fairchild, Civil War Hero, published by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press. It's part of the Badger Biographies series. Stotz is a singer, songwriter, and storyteller and has written several other books for young readers, including Curly Lambeau, Building the Green Bay Packers. He spoke with Stephanie Lecce. Stay tuned. There is more of our Civil War anniversary edition of Lake Effect coming your way after a break. This is Milwaukee Public Radio. Thank you.